order. You should be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh?
And I am just surprised at the fact that anyone would, early on in their relationship, bring their significant other to see the SSEU.
Come meet these crazy internet people.
Yeah, as in, if you wanted to end the relationship, I can see why that would be a good strategy.
You know, he's walking around with, you know, one sock on, but he seemed, you know, perfectly happy. I guess that was the Xanax. What was it that caused you to throw up?
Chick-fil-A.
Oh. That's why you don't want to talk about it.
Now the story of an eclectic fan base who lost touch with reality and the one podcast that somehow holds them all together. It's the Substandard Expanded Universe.
Welcome to the Thanksgiving edition of the weekly Substandard Expanded Universe podcast. I am here, and I mean here, in the house with Thomas Lassie, Sweet Abroad, here. Hello, Thomas.
Hello, Chris.
He is in my house in South Dakota. Although we are in separate rooms, we couldn't figure out the tech to be in the same room. There's a ridiculously bad echo. So I am in an adjacent room, and I can kind of hear him, and we'll see how that goes. And along...
Jason's room?
Just keep going.
Along with me, I have Ryan Kinney from Austin, Texas, home of the hippest, hippity-dippity something.
That's what everyone says.
That's
exactly what everyone says.
Hipster paradise of hippity dippity doodah.
Yes.
And sure. I am saying hippity dippity doodah because I am headed to Disney World in a few short days. You're listening to this, I'm on Tuesday at 4 a.m. We're leaving the house for the airport, and it's going to be great.
Is that a thing they say there?
Zippity doodah is a thing. From something.
Mary Poppins?
And I think I mixed that with Bippity Boppity Boo from Cinderella. So it's Zippity Doodah and
still Disney. It still counts.
So Thomas is here. He arrived yesterday after a long drive through Iowa. Thomas, could you tell us a little bit about this drive?
No. I am a little worried about my return, though, because... Chris's wife pointed out to me today that apparently there's going to be a snowstorm on the day I'm planning to drive back. So we'll see how that works out.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Yeah, driving through Iowa in a snowstorm. I can't imagine anything more fun.
How's that Volvo in the snow?
Oh, it's excellent.
What are you worried about?
So one of the things that we do in Sweden.
Tire chains?
In Sweden, in October... Through March, it's the law that you have winter tires.
Do you have studs in winter tires?
I'm sorry, the law?
You are required to have winter tires on your car, and if you don't, you get fined.
Oh, that sounds like a fun place to live.
We don't want idiots with summer tires in the middle of February crashing into others and killing
them. It's so nice that the iron fist of Big Brother is there to take care of you as well. Do they wear black masks as they fine you for not having the proper tires?
No, I know that Americans have a problem with authority, but we have these people called police officers, and we actually respect them, and they make sure that we follow the law. We don't throw riots because they are arresting people.
That is allegedly what our police are for as well. What, have you ever seen the movie Chirac?
No, but I have been to Chicago.
So you've been to Chirac. I don't know. Is that movie about police violence? Or is
I have
it
no idea.
Else?
I assumed you'd seen it.
No.
All right. Wait, I'm sorry. Chris, you're the host.
Well, Ryan, how was your Thanksgiving? I know how Thomas and mine was because we were together. How was yours?
Typical Thanksgiving. Went to my sister's house. There was a Maroon 5 vinyl there. And
a Maroon 5 vinyl?
Yeah. I mean, anybody who collects vinyl has a Maroon 5 album, don't they? At least one, probably more than that, right? I don't collect vinyl. I just assumed that was a, well, you know, as you're starting your vinyl collection, well, you got to get the Maroon 5 in there because they've been around for 6 years or whatever it is.
Is this a bit?
I had to take a picture of it. Like in their rack where they kept their vinyl, they had a Christmas album that was at the front, and Rose grabbed it and she was like, oh, hey, let's listen to this. And then I looked back down at the rack and next in line was Maroon 5. So I took out my phone, took a picture.
Did you have a look at what else was in that rack?
I didn't. I didn't feel comfortable just rifling through there.
NSYNC, Justin Bieber, Ariana Grande.
Talk about a rack. Ryan, that's inappropriate. Don't.
I don't even know what that would be referring to.
Does your sister-in-law have a pool?
Yeah, they do have a pool.
Okay, so yeah. You did the normal Thanksgiving activity of swimming.
We didn't swim. Rhett was so mad that he didn't get to swim. My youngest son, who's 6, he thought for sure the reason we were going there is because we were all swimming. And he was very upset when I kept telling him that water is not heated. You cannot swim in it. It's 50 degrees outside. But
so you're not from the parenting school of let him learn the hard way?
No, because I would assume at some point that would have involved me going in to get him. So I,
as his lips turn blue and the blood drains from his face and he takes his last breath,
the shock.
Say, I told you so.
Yeah, Chris and I spent much of the morning watching watching the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. We were really impressed by all of the musical numbers by artists that we had never heard about. So we kept googling them. No,
who were they?
No idea. Urban Daddy, or what was his name?
Urban Daddy? I don't think so.
It sounded like a pimp name.
Yeah, there's no. It's like, what was next? Leather Daddy?
Daddy likes leather.
There was actress. She performed. She had been in 50 Shades and 50 Shades Freed.
Oh. Yeah, we're like, so it said her name and we're like, who is she? And Thomas was like, I know her from 50 Shades.
Yeah, that's what happened.
Thankfully, he did not bring his trench coat with him to South Dakota. For the record, I just want to say parades are dumb. The Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade is dumb. The only reason it was I watched it under protest. My wife wanted it on because she wanted to see the South Dakota float, which we didn't even see. And because a lot of those balloons are made in South Dakota, because there's a company here that does them, and she thought that was cool. And I'm like, parades are dumb. I won't even want to go to one, let alone watch one on TV. I am anti-parade, and don't say I'm anti-joy, because there are 1,000 things I could name right now, if you ask me, that are more fun than parades.
But so are you anti all parades?
Yeah. I mean, sure, I take my kids to parades because they like them. But do they really? I mean, like, we assume they do, but it's just like people driving by and it's just, parades are dumb.
I can't remember ever having a good time at a parade.
And so the only thing dumber than going to a parade is watching one on television. Now, if I were a band
Is that dumber? Because
I got to be honest. I think going to a parade, I don't want to watch it on TV, but I think like going and standing and watching
in 19 degree weather and watching people.
Yeah. No, thank you.
Yeah.
If I have to choose, I'm going to take watching it on TV on my couch.
Yeah, you do have a point there. So Thanksgiving traditions, of course, some people watch the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. I think it's safe to say that our hosts today, the people who cooked us the dinner, will not listen to this podcast. So I can say that when we went over there, they were watching a Christmas movie, which I struggled to.
Oh, I bet you yelled at him, didn't you?
I did not. I am far more polite than
you should have.
I think
you yelled at me.
And I mean, there's like Thomas and I were pumped to watch football, and we get there and what was it? It's a Wonderful Life.
It's a Wonderful Life, which might be as far away from football as you can get.
Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving movie.
But they're dear friends. I would never yell at them. I love them dearly. And if they were ever to listen to the podcast, I love you guys. Had a great time. Thank you. But I wish you
I could figure out who they were. I'd send the link to this episode.
Do you like It's a Wonderful Life, Ryan?
Yeah. I mean, I don't watch it every single year, but I mean, I think it's a good movie. Do you not like it?
I think it's it seems to me like people rate it way too high as the most outstanding Christmas movie ever. So many people appear to have it as their favorite.
He likes the Swedish version, which is much more violent. It is by that author who wrote the... What are those books?
The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo books.
Yeah, yeah. And it just takes dark turns.
It's got some brutal rape in it.
Then. Yes. That's what I was trying to say delicately. Thanks, Ryan, just coming out.
That's just what I want out of a Christmas movie. Out of a good Christmas movie that puts me in the right mood.
So, last weekend, Thomas and Ryan had the joy of being at SwampCon. If you're listening to this, you probably listened to the Substandard, and you heard JVL's account. But I'm kind of interested in hearing an alternate telling of that history. So we heard JVL talk about popping Xanax and inviting strangers into his home and hoping it all went well.
I have a question for Ryan.
Hey, I'm hosting here.
Oh, okay.
Thomas, I have a question for you. What was your biggest surprise of the people that you met? What was the most surprising thing?
I think the most surprising thing was how tall Steven actually is in person. So
no matter how much you had heard about it.
When we described him as a giant, I didn't take it seriously. I took it as a joke. But he's literally at least 8 feet tall.
He had to duck underneath every doorway. And one time after he had a little bit too much to drink, he smacked his head right on the doorway to the dining room. And everybody was concerned because they thought he might fall. And he could have actually fallen through the floor if he fell.
Yeah, Steven's friend Chris had to lead him out of the last household.
Yeah. Question. As Steven continued to drink, and of course you hopefully have heard the episode where Steven came out as a closet pirate, that he really, what he wants most in life is to be a pirate. Did he, as he got slightly inebriated, did he slip into pirate slang at all at any point?
I don't believe he slipped into pirate slang, but he did bring a jug of rum as his contribution to the stack of booze that we consumed during the evening. So I wanted to ask Ryan a little bit about your travel experience. So you would recommend JetBlue to everyone?
You don't have to answer that. He doesn't want to answer about throwing up. You don't have to answer this.
No, I'll answer this. If by everyone, if there was somebody that I really didn't like, then
like Jason Cooper.
Oh yeah, I really hope Jason books a flight on JetBlue. And I mean, the thing about JetBlue is, like, you'll be able to print a boarding pass, even though most likely there's no crew to fly the plane that you're supposed to get on, but you can get through security and you will have a great view of other planes taking off. And that's a lot of fun. I mean, sure, it's, you know, several hundred dollars, but how else are you going to get that enjoyment at 5 o'clock in the morning? Yeah, so we had a 5:40 a.m. flight out of Austin. At 12:30 a.m., they called my phone with an automated message letting me know that the flight had been canceled. And then the automated message also told me that I had been automatically rebooked on another flight. No worries, I'm on another flight. And that was 5:40 a.m., November 16th. But I'm on another flight at 1:25 p.m., November 18th, flying out of Austin. Now, my return flight left before 1:25 p.m., my return flight from D.C. So I was thinking, if I timed it exactly right, we could have landed in D.C. on the 18th just in time to watch our return flight take off back to Austin. So that would have been that would have been pretty cool.
That would have been a fun activity for you, your wife, and your six-month-old daughter.
Yeah.
What is a better place to bring an infant than an airport?
Yeah.
It's just delightful.
Yeah, it's so much fun. So then when I told them I'm coming back the 18th, I can't leave from Austin on the 18th. They said, "Oh, well, we'll give you a flight credit for another flight sometime." And I said, "What? In case I don't want to go anywhere on another date?" And so I spent about 2.5 hours into the early hours of the morning trying to get on the hold, trying to talk to different people. Finally, and I'm on my phone the whole time looking for other flights, and I purchased another flight. And eventually, finally, I talked to the right person, and JetBlue gave me a refund rather than just a credit for another flight. So at least I got that, but I got no sleep that night. So
it makes me think of the Seinfeld episode when he has a car reservation.
Yeah.
You know how to take a reservation.
But you don't know how to hold a reservation,
which is really the most important part of a reservation. Anyone could just take them.
Yeah. So in general about the DC / SwampCon trip, it was my first time in DC. Ryan, you hadn't been either, right?
No. We hadn't been either. So It was nice of Flag to lead us around some sightseeing.
Yeah, so Flag took us around the Capitol area, around the National Mall, and to the Washington Monument, the Lincoln Memorial, Vietnam Memorial, and so on, and showed us...
Which I understand was Ryan's daughter's favorite memorial, was the Lincoln Memorial.
Yeah, she, for whatever reason, she cried the most at the Lincoln Memorial, so Flag decided that she must be a Confederate sympathizer. So
apparently Megan Gill is going to start an Instagram account with cute pictures of Piper and along with Confederate sayings. So apparently Thomas was thrilled with the ease and speed of getting around D.C.
It is one of the worst traffic experiences I've ever had. And I realize that it's probably not too far out of norm for big cities, but it is literally the reason why I probably couldn't live in one. So I believe Rick, who was my host over the weekend, said that to get to work for him, and I think it might be an 8-mile drive or something, it takes him 40-45 minutes.
Wow. I've complained about Austin traffic on this podcast before, but that was worse. And I mean,
well, it's a little bit to be expected. I mean, there are a lot of people there for SwampCon.
Yeah, and so on Saturday evening when we were going to Shannon and JVL's place, and they live south of Alexandria in a place called Woodbridge. And it's in the evening on a Saturday. There is literally no reason in my mind
I did not think it was going to take us that long.
No.
Oh, my gosh. From Springfield to Woodbridge took us like 50 minutes.
And how many miles is this?
I don't know how many miles it was. I don't remember. It was not that many miles, though. It looked like it should have taken us 20 minutes. We just sat in traffic.
So at SwampCon, there were several Weekly Standard writers. I understand Jim Swift and Hannah Yost was there, but... I think that was it, though. However, there was a visit from a Sir Michael Caine.
Yeah, Michael Caine was there. That was pretty cool. He looks younger in person.
I did not recognize him at first.
I didn't either.
But he was just as nice as I imagined Michael Caine to be. Very, very nice to talk to. He also brought his wife along.
And when Stephen did fall down, he did the whole "Why do we fall down, Stephen?" thing, and that was pretty cool to see.
Yeah.
So apparently, Shannon's hugs are rib crushing. Who said that?
Flag.
Okay.
Yeah, Flag is pretty sure that he broke at least one rib from her hugging. And as we know, Flag's a doctor, as am I, and I concur with his assessment.
Speaking of doctor, did you get a look at some Orion stool?
I thought we were saving that for post-show.
Did you not stop by that Airbnb bathroom that we stayed in? Because I didn't flush the whole time we were there.
He left some there for you.
I thought I gave you the access code to go in.
Well, what I heard from Flag was that despite all the hyperbole about Vic's head size, that he was still surprised by the size of Vic's head. That was his one takeaway. It wasn't, oh, well, JVL's tall. Oh, you know, Ryan's tall. It's Vic's head was even bigger than I thought it would be.
So Flag has, and I think he would agree with me on this, that he has a fairly small head. So the contrast of seeing Flag standing right next to Vic was truly something to behold.
And was Vic on reduced gluttony, or was he indulging?
The way that Vic was mixing and pouring drinks for himself and others, I don't think there was anything reduced about it.
Okay.
I don't think so either. And I know that he had both kinds of chili, so...
Skyline chili?
No, there wasn't any Skyline chili. There was a chicken chili, and there was a... I don't know. Just
was that Confederate
part.
Chili?
I don't want to talk about...
Confederate chili? What white chili?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So we had some Weekly Standard writers. One of you guys had a story about one of the Weekly Standard writers.
Yeah, so my wife Rose and I were down, like, in the basement was kind of like this. They had this mat for kids to play on, and we took our daughter down there just to let her crawl around for a little bit. And one of the – I won't name any names, but one of the writers came down. He started just opening drawers and just looking under things, and just he looked at us and said, "I worked with the guy for 6 years, and I've never been to his house before, so I'm going to go through everything."
Yeah, so it's pretty amazing that JVL and Shannon, they apparently never have people over. Pretty sure that the lasts are going to host more parties from now on, because it seemed like both of them... And JVL said as much on the latest Substandard that they really enjoyed it and that they had a good time. So I don't think they're going to be as scared of the idea anymore. In general, though, I would say, Ryan, would you say that it was a successful party?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, it was a lot of fun. I mean, we had our, you know, difficulties traveling, got in, because originally we were supposed to get into D.C. at like 9:42 in the morning, and we didn't end up getting in until that night sometime, Friday night. And even with that, it was really fun. I had a lot of fun. My favorite thing, I've said this, was just watching Thomas, because everybody was wanting to talk to Thomas. Thomas was very entertaining, and he just looked like he was having the time of his life, and it was just fun to watch him.
I mean, in the pictures, it looked like he was kind of in the middle of everything.
Yeah, he really was. He was like, you know, almost him and Vic were, you know, the two, like, centers of attention. Like, you'd go back and forth between the two of them.
I will say that the civilization discussion that I had with Vic was a ton of fun. And Vic's wife, Kate, also plays civilization. And it was great. It was... really fun, and we got to talk mulch with Mike and Melissa Warren in person.
Wow, that's the dream.
That is the dream, and the trade-offs between pine straw and mulch, and which is actually better.
I would have come with so many questions and walked away a wiser. a much wiser man.
Another general takeaway from the trip. So the party was a success, but also sightseeing with Flag and the Kinneys was a lot of fun. But I always feel like when I'm in a place where I have seen the buildings and I have seen the places that I'm visiting, I have seen them in movies or I have seen them in photos or whatever, it sort of feels like I am in a film. So when you walk around the Capitol or you're outside the Supreme Court or you walk to the Abe Lincoln Memorial, it feels slightly surreal. Or the Vietnam Memorial. And it's a slightly surreal feeling, but really fun. So I wanted to ask Ryan if Ryan had a favorite memorial of the ones that we saw or building.
I mean, honestly, the Lincoln Memorial was really, like, I'd never been to D.C. before, like I said. And it was, I don't know, it was a lot more, striking in person than I feel like I'd realized seeing, you know, in movies or or pictures or whatever. You know, it really felt like there was, you know, some gravity to it. So that was definitely my favorite memorial.
Despite the objections of your daughter.
Yeah, despite Piper. Which, and I also say, like, after that, like, she was, I think she was getting tired, because I think we did a lot of walking. Flag carried her for, like, the last 45 minutes, and she fell asleep, and he carried her while she slept for 45 minutes, and she needed that nap.
Well, I love how Flag has been like, yeah, I'm a baby whisperer. I'm the baby whisperer. And Ryan's like, all right, take her.
Yeah.
Take my racist baby.
That's basically how it was.
Thomas, I'm guessing that your favorite by far was the FDR Memorial.
Yeah, that was by far the greatest, my big idol. I did have a story about the Lincoln Memorial that I wanted to share, where I had been over, I had read the second inaugural, and I walked over to the other side, and I was reading the Gettysburg Address, and these two people walk up behind me, and I'm sort of eavesdropping on their conversation because it was really hard to avoid, and they were discussing about where these texts are from. And it seemed at the end that they decided that they are essentially saying the same thing, so they are probably from the same speech made by Abe. And I almost turned around and corrected them.
Were they millennials?
I assume so.
At least they weren't like, oh, is this from the Bible? It sounds like old language. It must be from the Bible. Now, everyone says great things about Melissa, like that she's great. But does she know her stuff? Does she know about mulch and all that as well?
Yeah, she had very in-depth knowledge and opinions about mulch versus pine straw.
Like, was there agreement between the two? Was there harmony there, or were they kind of on different sides of the mulch debate?
Between the two Warrens?
Warrens, yeah.
There seemed to be agreement, but disagreement with JVL.
Oh, okay. So they're all about the Chinese stuff.
Yeah.
Import. So Scott Litzcombe would be thrilled.
Yeah, and you know how much of a MAGA guy JVL is. So he wasn't having any of that.
He wants those tariffs. So was it like meeting old friends, even though you're meeting for the first time? Was it like, hey, like, Steven?
It was a lot like that. Like, the conversations and interactions felt a lot like they do in the Megathread. And the conversations with Vic or JVL were almost like as if you were on the substandard with them.
That's great. That's great. So I think this is going to be the first of many. It's not the first, I guess. There was
JVL has promised to host. Do a transition or something.
Transition! Speaking of Turkey, we got a chance this evening, Thomas and I and Ryan all watched Chav King Arthur. And we thought we'd talk about it. The chavening occurred. So, Ryan, it was your first time watching it?
Yeah. No thanks.
No thanks. So you're team Sonny?
Yeah, I was. No thanks. I'm good with. I mean, it was more Game of Thronesy than Game of Thrones.
But do they punch the air in Game of Thrones? I mean, when Charlie Hunnam was punching the air at the beginning, did that not get your blood pumping?
I tell you what got my blood pumping was that nobody was checking that kid for concussions. Because he got knocked in the head so many times, I guarantee you this whole thing was just a hallucination because he has CTE. Every time he left the brothel, he came back with a head injury. And I
and money somehow.
I don't think they were going through the concussion protocol.
Yeah, okay.
But Chris, you seem to like it more than Ryan did.
So, I guess caveats first. Caveats. Like, the movie opened, and it's so fantastical and ridiculous. There are these
elephants?
Giant elephants, and frankly, the architecture of Camelot. I mean, there are towers that are like 800 feet tall. I didn't see any cranes. I don't know that like bigger is better. And you know, there's this like stone arched walkway that's like 1,000 feet off the ground that would be pretty amazing to build even today. And somehow with primitive equipment, they built this. And what do you mean,
primitive equipment? They had magic.
I guess they had magic. You're right. And when you have magic, like a magic sword, like Excalibur, that means you can jump with the horse and fly through the air and land on the thing. Like, as soon as he did it, I'm like, that looks like a dumb idea. But it worked.
You wear the proper protection. You'll be fine.
Okay. So the opening 5 minutes were terrible. But then, like, the next 25 minutes were just, like, classic Guy Ritchie, top of his game, quick cuts, and I loved it. I loved it. I thought it was great.
Are you talking about the montage of the kid growing up?
Yeah, I loved that. Years? I loved it. I loved it. And I guess I didn't like the quick cut of there's a scene where he talks about a hypothetical scenario when he goes to talk to a baron that it turns out he doesn't actually do. He's like, here's how it's going to go, and then it seems like he's actually doing it, but then
he's,
you know
not
what I'm talking about?
It. Yeah.
And then he doesn't do it. I think the only reason you do it, like, that could be a good scene if you actually do it. You know what I mean?
That was later on.
That was later on, yeah.
When him and Mr. Belvedere were talking about how they were going to raise 12,000 soldiers or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, so the narrative had some serious issues. They're, like, going to raise an army, but then, like, he just goes right in the castle, just him.
Yeah, he's just like, oh, we don't need an army, and here's why.
And they have this tremendous weapon.
He's like, we're going to Robin Hood it up.
Yeah. And they use this amazing weapon to essentially get close to victory. And it's like, oh, that could have come in handy at any earlier point.
Okay. Are we doing spoilers?
Like, yes, we're doing spoilers.
Okay.
It's been out for a year.
Okay. All right. So I agree with Chris. I like the montage of him growing up when they are telling the story about the Vikings to the sergeant or whatever it is.
Oh, that was great.
I think that 20
Well, that
minutes,
wasn't
whatever,
him growing up. That was after he grew
yeah,
up.
Yeah, yeah, but okay. I think that entire thing from like when he's
that
growing
part,
up until
the,
that is
I
really
like,
good.
I like, okay, I didn't like the part where he's growing up, but I like the scene where they were telling the story about the Vikings. I like that. That was classic Guy Ritchie.
Yeah, that was great.
I like that.
I think one of my main quibbles with this is that it seems, and this is the case with a lot of superhero movies, right? It seems a little undefined exactly what powers this Excalibur.
Yes.
Has.
Yeah. Yes.
Very much.
Like anything to do with the quick cuts and just the Guy Ritchie kind of at his, like, doing what he does best was good. Anything to do with magic was bad.
The one scene where he just swung the sword one time,
yeah,
and then there was like lightning everywhere, and when the dust cleared, all the bad guys were dead,
and the good guys were
standing. We're just fine. And then he's like, "Okay, I'm gonna go down into the pit now."
Yeah, in the ninja arena.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. That was bad. And same thing. There's another scene where, again, undefined powers. Like, it slows down times, and he was able to like slice arrows that were flying through the sky.
Yeah, at one point I thought we were watching.
And throw them back at people.
Yeah, I thought we were watching Chav King Arthur 300.
I thought it was Chav King Arthur the Matrix.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so the powers a bit undefined. There are other. I have some.
Well, they should have cut out the whole Dark Lands or whatever.
Oh,
part.
That was like basically the Dark Lands were like a virtual reality headset where Arthur could just watch his father's death to Skeletor in like very graphic detail.
There's no point to it because allegedly that was supposed to get him on board, or at least get him on board with his powers.
And he still didn't have his powers until
he wasn't on board until he was pulled down into a lake and stuff was whispered to him.
Yeah.
And then suddenly he was like, oh, I'm totally like,
yeah.
And then there's the sequence when after they have made their failed attempt to kill the king, and they are back at the camp, and he has lost his friend, and he's about to give up, and he tosses the sword into the lake, and he then goes off into the forest, and he doesn't know what to do, or he's running, and he's thinking about giving up, and then he's sucked into a pile of mud, where some lady who is whispering in his ear suddenly convinces him to carry on.
Yeah, that was the lady of the lake, because the way I see it, it was Mordred's staff, Merlin makes Excalibur, gives it to the Lady of the Lake, who gives it to Uther, and then eventually Arthur gets it. That's the sequence that I got from him being dragged under the mud.
I'm not sure that's necessary.
It's totally unnecessary. There would have been a much better organic way of getting him to buy into the mission.
Yeah, and then that scene where they were going to assassinate Jude Law, and then they realize, oh, wait, it's a trap. That's not really him. And then
let's do it anyway.
Littlefinger goes all Star-Lord and is just like decides to do it anyway. And just totally puts Maggie, like their person on the inside, Maggie, just like, who cares about her life? I'm just going to shoot this guy.
But she survives until then, right?
She survives, yeah.
Yeah, of course she's fine.
Yeah. Well, like, at the end, I'm like, Thomas, like, how is she just fine?
I know. Like, why, was she too like as soon as they kill? Started, yeah, as soon as they started shooting, why wasn't Jude Law just like torturing her or killing her or whatever, like getting information from her?
He's like, oh, you're gonna pay.
He's know? Like, I knew it. I'm gonna let you go, but I knew you were working for them.
Yeah, there are a lot of things like that. That I think it was. I don't even remember his name. And again, because like the introduction of characters is really bad. It was like, but one of his guys, guys probably from the what's a nicer way of putting whorehouse?
Brothel?
The brothel. One of the guys from the brothel is the one who gives him up and the headquarters, right?
Oh, was it Wetstick or was it Backlack?
One of those guys. And he was kind of youngish but not super young.
Backlack or Blue Boy?
Cuz like you see them go in to torture him.
Yeah.
And then we never see him again. Like, there's, like, you know what I mean? Like, it didn't really pay off. It didn't.
No. No.
It really kind of indicated that maybe it was him that gave him up. And there could have been a lot more work done on the script.
Like, what was Jude Law? The higher the tower got, the more, like, the more Chris Angel-like he got. I don't know if he was, like, trying to get a Netflix special, but.
How did you?
Yeah, so I turned to Thomas and I was like, Thomas, like, so what is it? Is it that every love person he sacrifices gives him more power, or is it the height of the tower?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, this
is which is it? Because they kind of said it was both.
Yeah.
How did you guys like the broads in the cellar?
The Minority Report girls.
The ones who could tell the future before it happened.
Yeah. I was sad when little Marco sacrificed himself. His name was Rubio. That kid, remember when they were trying to get away and then like the youngest not Blue Boy, but the other young guy was like stabbed and he was like, "Oh, I can make it. Just go." And instead he just picked up the sword and ran down towards the Jude Law's men and wasn't
that the guy who gave him up?
Instantly slaughtered.
Oh, okay.
No, I think
that's again, it wasn't clear who these people were, and that's a problem.
No, well, anyway, so general takeaways, Ryan, you hated it.
Well, I think in the end, I think Chav had that drive. He wanted it more. He outworked Jude Law. He put in the 100% effort day in and day out. He practiced how he played. He came in on his off days, worked on his death scene one-liners. Those little things add up. So let that be a lesson to you. If your opponent has more talent, has more magic on his side, has sacrificed his wife and his daughter.
And his daughter.
You can still defeat them if you just work harder. You just have that drive. You can still win.
Okay, Chris?
Well, tell me about the motivation of these Minority Report girls. So they just enjoy Schadenfreude, or like they're just like these sideline players that enjoy giving power to somebody and seeing them really suffer for it.
Yeah, I am not sure what they get in return. Like, I have no clue.
Suffering for power.
I don't know if they get like pleasure out of someone killing one of them, because that's what he had to do. You had to, the blood of a loved one,
right,
had to be spilled into the water. So, if that was just their,
is that how they survive?
That's what they ran on. I don't know.
Well, okay. So you asked me what I thought. I liked it. I liked it despite the bad CGI, the ambiguous powers of the sword, despite all the dumb stuff, I liked it. I thought Jude Law was great. He was great in it.
I think Jude Law was the best part of it. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No doubt. I really wish the final fight had a lot less. I wish it had zero. I wish it.
why was there a 300-foot snake?
Where did it come from? How did he end up there?
And that was the weapon that I said that should have been used a lot earlier. Like,
all you
I'd imagine that could have taken down that tower when it was like 10 feet tall.
Yeah, that was.
Yeah.
They could have just had the fight at the end. They didn't have to.
But the fight like should not have been a CGI fight.
Yeah.
Like, it should have just been a man-to-man, well-choreographed sword fight. And maybe Jude Law plays dirty and, I don't know, like, throws sand in his eyes and, you know, sword guides itself straight and true through his heart. I don't know. There should have been less CGI. But altogether, I liked it. I am glad I watched it. I will definitely watch it again. And what? I can see why.
When are you going to watch it again?
The next time Thomas comes to visit, it's going to be a Thanksgiving tradition.
There are a lot of assumptions going into this, like that I'm going to want to see it a third time, and that I'm coming here for Thanksgiving again.
You're coming back. This is an annual thing.
I will say that I've seen it twice now. After the first time, I walked out of it and. I didn't walk out of it. I think I saw it on the plane.
I was gonna say.
I came.
You went to the theater.
I came out of it.
You grabbed the parachute.
That,
you're like, I'm out of here.
I thought it was fine the first time I saw it, and then JVL started to go on about how great it is, and I was like, did I miss something? And I don't really think I missed anything. I think it's fine. I like the world building. I dislike the CGI. Powers are a bit undefined. It could have been better told, but overall, it's fine.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly thought all the performances were good. I just thought a lot of it was, you know, ridiculous or unnecessary. Like, didn't have to.
All right, Chris, what are we watching?
Did you guys see that David Beckham was in it?
Oh, say that again.
David Beckham was in it.
Was he really? Because I was looks like David Beckham.
Yeah, that was the trigger when he pulled the sword out of the stone. That was David Beckham.
So my eyes weren't deceiving me. I was like, wait. I was just wondering if maybe I was becoming racist and thought that all white people looked alike. But yeah, okay. So you're being totally serious. That was David Beckham.
Yeah, for real. That was David Beckham.
Because I almost turned to Thomas and was like, dude, is that? I didn't want to sound dumb, though, because, like, yeah, he's pretty chavvy.
So, if we watch another movie before I leave, Chris, do you think it should be Planes, Trains, and Automobiles?
I'm torn between that and Mad Max Fury Road.
Okay.
Because I've never seen Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, but I have seen Mad Max, and Mad Max is a cinematic masterpiece.
That's so weird. Like, everybody, I watched Planes, Trains, and Automobiles for the first time last year around Thanksgiving time, and everybody was just treating me like I was crazy for not having seen it before. And now you've never seen it, and Thomas hasn't seen it either.
No, but I'm foreign. I have an excuse.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. But I think we should watch that. But Mad Max and Fury Road is really good too.
All right, I relinquish my host duties. Thomas, go. I don't know how we close this up.
that is it for this Thanksgiving episode of the Weekly Substandard Expanded Universe podcast. We hope that all of you had a lovely Thanksgiving, that you got to celebrate it with friends and family. We have had a great time here in South Dakota, and we will see you again next week. Make sure that you check out the Substandard every Thursday with JVL, Sonny, and Vic. Ciao!
Question. I realized this, I don't know when, but you always say, check out the Substandard. Is there anybody listening to our podcast who doesn't already listen to the Substandard?
Good point. But I feel like we have to.
Okay, we have to.
Yeah, I feel like it's just nice to say it.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Just to acknowledge that we recognize that where all of our listeners come from.
That's true.
I was going to say, like, he fashioned an eye patch out of something, but I couldn't think of anything to say.
I guess I'm surprised you guys with this stuff, but, like, is there some phrase he could have uttered at some point where he's like, "Arr, vasty," like, I don't know. Like, what's something a pirate would say, like, when he got a little tipsy?
I don't know any pirates. I don't know.
All right. Well.
He said, allegedly... I'm Johnny Depp.